through it. So, okay, so just in true CCAM fashion, for those of you that are not here on a regular basis, welcome, welcome. We do things a little different. We're a little odd in here, but we're odd in a good way. We are supposed to be peculiar. Amen? Now, peculiar doesn't mean necessarily weird, but we are a little weird too. But peculiar really just means that there's a boldness and a confidence on us, and we're unshaken. Amen? We are unshaken by the things of this world. When everybody else is falling apart, we're not. That's why we're peculiar. Amen? But in true CCAM fashion, I got a few jokes for you this morning. Are y'all ready? For those of you that don't know, that are not here on a regular basis, we always, you know, we put ourselves into remembrance of the word that a merry heart doeth good like medicine. And so Pastor Greg loves to tell jokes. So I got a few for y'all this morning. We'll see. I might need some sound effects, Charles, because I don't know how good these are going to be. Okay. What kind of candy do moms want the most on Mother's Day? What? No cotton candy. Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? All right, y'all ready? Now, older generation may get this. I don't know about the newer generation, younger. A Kit Kat so you can give her a break. Y'all, give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Y'all, see, y'all know? I was it good. I started out good. All right, what did the digital clock say to its mother? What did the digital clock say to its mother? Look, Ma, no hands. Ah, wah, wah. Huh? Okay, this one applies to me a little bit. What do you call a petite mother? A minimum. A mini mom. There we go. All right. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Okay. All right, so today, I get up here and I talk about what it means to be a good mom. And let's be honest, if we're honest, how often do we feel like a good mom? I hope you never do, Jeremy. Or a good dad. Let's throw that in there. Or sometimes just a good person. Amen? And so it was real funny the direction this morning was going with the music and the direction that my husband went last week, because God had been stirring this in me for several weeks, that he didn't want me to talk about being a mom or a parent for all of you men in the room. He wanted me to talk about being a child. Yes. So today we are going to talk about what it means to be a child. So we're going to go to our first scripture. And for those of you that know me, y'all know we're going to go through a lot of scripture. I think I sent Charles like 10 scriptures last night. So we're going to start in John chapter 1, verses 11, and this is in the NLT version, and it says, he came to his own people, talking about the Jews at this time, and even they rejected him. We all know Jesus was rejected and despised, right? But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. Now look at what it says. To all who believed and who accepted. That kind of sounds like Romans 10:9-10. All who confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised them from the dead, they shall be what? Saved. At that moment of salvation, we are now called a child of God. Amen. Serena was singing about it earlier. And I'm like, what an honor it is to be a child of God. And what is so cool about, you know, when we think about natural children, we define children according to their age, right? We think somewhere in that, you know, toddlers around 3 and 4, and then we kind of call them children. They're all children, okay? But we kind of define children in the 5 to like school age, right? Like up until they get into the tween areas. And children, in God's sense, he's not saying, I want you, you are my child. And he's not saying a physical child, because we're going to grow up. Amen. But he wants us to have the attitude of a child. Did y'all see, do y'all ever watch our kids up front? Do y'all ever see how they are just unashamed? They are unashamed of anything they do. Yes. Can we be unashamed for God? It gets harder the older we get. Yes? We start looking around the room to see who's watching. We start looking around the room to see who's going to hear what we say. Oh, well, if I talk about Jesus, oh, I don't know. And so God is saying here, look, you are my child. And I understand you're going to grow up physically, but I want you, you are going to be my child forever. Zoe's 18. She's graduating. She's going to be the baby of the Lee family for her whole entire life. Yes? Always. There's not going to be another one in Jesus' name. Okay? She's it. She's it. That's it. So she's going to be our baby her entire life. And Joseph's like, yeah, I figures, you know. Joseph's my baby too. And so my kids are my children their entire lives. Whether they are 50 or they are 5, they are my kids. It's the same way with God. We are his kids. At that moment of salvation, he does something in us, and he wants us to come to him as a child. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. What is so awesome about God? He is a perfect parent. Perfect. We don't feel perfect, but he is perfect. He's around all the time. He's not absentee. He's not going to lie. He doesn't get tired. He's always loving. God is love, right? If we want to know the character of God, we need to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is what? Kind. That is our God. That is our God. And we are his kids. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, and it says, and this was Jesus talking in this passage, and the disciples were getting irritated because the kids were running around. They were running around the church. Imagine that. And Jesus says to them, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted, or he's saying, unless you're born again and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And what he's saying here, if you want to experience the fullness of what I have for you in this life and the next life, I need you to come to me as a child. So I just kind of focused on that as a child part. And let's think about the things that our children can teach us. Now, there are times that our children need spankings. Yes. And there are times that as children of God, oh, yeah, yeah, our kids got lots of spankings. And there are times, I'm on Facebook. Yes, we spanked our children. Spare the rod, spoil the child, right? Okay. So there are times that our children require a spanking. There are times that we require a spanking from the Lord. And how does he do that? With this right here. And he gets us in line. But let's look at some other areas. I was thinking about our kids, you know, and what are some things that our kids do as a child. All right, number one, as a child, they're not fully developed, right? Brains don't work completely right. So they have to be told what to do oftentimes when it comes to things like running into a street. Yes? They have to be taught, they have to be corrected, they have to be guided, but in the midst of it, as we are guiding them and directing them, we are also protecting them. Yes? God is doing the same thing for us all the time. Matthew 18, 4, we can stay in Matthew 18, it says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus noticed in this passage, he said, look, I need y'all to act more like these kids. I need y'all to be willing to get down on the floor and roll around a little bit for me, like these kids. I need y'all to be willing to be taught of me, to learn from me, to be guided by me. Because guess what? You don't know it all, right? We don't know it all. And we need his guidance. We need his protection. We need to recognize that he is... he's our Father. He loves us. He wants good stuff for us. The Word says that our steps are ordered by him, right? So if I'm allowing him, and let me say that, if I'm allowing him to order my steps, then that means he's leading me into truth. He's leading me in a path of righteousness. He's leading me into good things. But we have a choice, church, whether or not we want to allow him to lead us and guide us, or whether or not we want to stay where we're at and lead and guide our own selves, right? We can either be children of God or as children of God, or we can be as children of this world. And there's a lot of children of God, born again, children of God, that are not acting as children of God. And we all have been in that place where we're not acting as children of God. And I think that's why he reminded me of this. Look, daughter, you are my child. These are some things that you need to put yourself into remembrance of. I've got your back, always. And notice it says humbly. We've got to come to him. He is not going to force us to do anything. Greg says it all the time. God is a gentleman, yes? He is not going to force us to serve him. He is not going to force us to walk with him. He's not going to force us to get into his word. He wants time with us, but he needs us to come to him. Y'all think about your kiddos. I'm not going to force my kids to spend time with me. Now, sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm like, you coming, or you're not getting fed. That happens a lot because I never cook. So you either come with us to go eat or you're just not eating tonight. That happens a lot, yeah. So there are times where their bellies are leading them to go eat and, you know, spend time with us. Y'all ever been there? Y'all know what I'm saying as they get older. But we're not, you know, I can't, it means more to me whenever one of my kids says, let's go together and let's go to Bossier. Let's go do something. What are you doing today, Mom? Let's go spend some time together. That means a lot. When my kid actually wants to sit down and watch a movie with Mom, don't y'all love that? Yeah, that means something because they want to spend time with me. It takes a humbling of ourself to just put ourselves aside and say, Lord, I'm your child and I need time with you, Daddy. All right, number two, kids, they believe anything they are told. Y'all know that's true because they trust your words. If you tell your child something, they believe it. Now, sometimes we mess around with them. Y'all ever messed with your kids and told them something that wasn't exactly true? I could think of some things. I'm looking around on things concerning different, you know, holidays and things. But anyway, so you can mess around with your kids and you tell them stuff and they're going to believe it because you said it. Yes? They are easily impressed. It doesn't take much to impress kids. Y'all, we say it all the time. If you want to grow as in your walk with God and you want to grow in ministry, like if you feel like the Lord is leading you to do more ministry, go work in the kids department. Britta's shaking her head. Yep, Stacy's been doing it forever, shaking her head. Because they love everything you do. Everything you do is going to be wonderful, awesome, and great. Now, teenagers is a different story, okay? But I'm talking about Cornerstone kids. You are the coolest person on the planet. You are the funnest person on the planet. And they are impressed by everything you do. Back there, I know what they're doing right now. They're making crafts for you mamas in the room. And they are having so much fun doing it. And they are impressed by everything that's happening. And God wants us to approach him with that same awe and that same wonder and just recognize how wonderful he is. You know, to look at him through the eyes of a child, despite what stuff we see around us. Because the enemy wants to stop that. He wants to callous us. He wants to harden us. He wants to put the scales over our eyes. He doesn't want us to see God in the midst of the mess. He wants to keep our eyes focused on whatever chaotic event or mess is taking place in front of us. That keeps us and prevents us from keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen? All right, so our kids, they're like little sponges. They're going to take it all in. And God wants us to have that same kind of faith. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. By the way, y'all, I encourage you, if you have an actual paper Bible, start bringing it. Like, I'm telling you, it does something, I don't know, it may not for y'all, but it is scientifically proven that what you write, you remember more than what you type. Now, I know this generation is a generation of texting, right? And I put notes in my phone all the time, so I get it. But there is something about taking your hand, putting a pen in it, and writing it on paper. That's how we got this. That's how we got the Word of God. It wasn't typed. It was written. Yes? And so I just challenge y'all to consider it. Think about it. Because I don't know. It does something for me. And I don't know why God wanted me to say that. But there you go. Okay. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Now, to me, that reads, when you're a child of the enemy or of this world, you don't know what to do. You're stumbling around in the darkness, right? Because you're either a child of God or you're not. Yes? All right, verse 20. But my son, doesn't that sound like a kid? My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Listen to them. Believe them. And then it says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Have y'all ever given your kids a present that they love so much they carried around with them all the time? My kids had blankets when they were little. They're like, oh, God, Mom. Yeah, they had Vippo. They had blankets. Did any of y'all's babies have blankets that they just carried around? It was like Linus, you know, with his blanket. And they just, those blankets went, oh, they were nasty. They got drugged through dirt, you know. There's all kinds of stinkiness on those blankets. I'd have to wash them periodically. Y'all know there's stuff that your kids treasure so much, like Rachel's baby. I love seeing her with all her little animals. Because why does she care them? Because she treasures them. She loves them. And this scripture is saying that to me. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep my word in the midst of your heart like a precious treasure, like that toy that kid likes to carry around, like that blanket. Tote it with you everywhere you go. Verse 22, why? Because they are life. The word of God is alive. It is powerful. Amen? They are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Why is the word so important? Because it is literally life. Written on paper. But what's so awesome is that the Holy Spirit now resides within us. That life of God is in us. That word of God is in us. But we've got to remind ourselves of it and who we are. Being a child of God is simply being in Christ. In Christ. And being a child of God, being in Christ, has benefits to it. Great benefits. And I know Greg, I think, is going to probably get into that part of it, so I'm not going to get too much in it. But our kids, another characteristic of a child, is a child is going to inherit anything the parent has. Yes? So if the parent is walking in prosperity, now I'm talking about earthly prosperity, that child is going to receive that earthly inheritance. Well, let's go to, where are we at, Lord? Show me. Romans 8:15, Pastor Greg's favorite chapter, 8:15. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, because we're his kids, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And if it goes on, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So guys, look, I found this quote, and it's simple. It's a simple quote, but I thought it just spoke to me, okay? And it says, Jesus did not go through the agony of the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, and we just had Easter. He didn't go through the agony of those things. And it doesn't even say, and we didn't even talk about the scourging that happened prior to, yes. He didn't go through all that stuff just to help us a little bit. Just to help us a little bit. I mean, my kids come asking me for something. When they come to me, the word says you have not because you ask not. When they come asking, I'm not going to deny them of anything. That's good for them. If it lines up with this word, it's good for you. If it lines up with what God is saying, he wants you to have it. These are his promises. He is giving us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so what did he provide for us as heirs and joint heirs? He provided right standing, righteousness. He provided deliverance from darkness and the works of the enemy. He gave us freedom and victory. Amen? He gave us healing in our physical bodies. Yes, we can experience the physical healing that was placed on the stripes of Jesus. He gave us prosperity and provision. Yes. He saw the need before we needed it. Amen? So he's already made a way. And he gave us the authority of the name of Jesus and the keys to the kingdom. So all of those things are wrapped up in the package deal of the inheritance. And so being a child comes with all of these great benefits, but yet we forget we have it, and so we fail to walk in it. Amen? I mean, is it just me? I don't think it is. I don't think it is. All right, so one more thing our kids do. Well, actually, two more things. One more thing as we go to the last one. They know their parents' voice, and they repeat it. You ever had your kids repeat something you said? Woo! Good, bad, and ugly. Yes. You accidentally let something slip out at the house, and then next thing you know, next thing you know, your five-year-old's repeating it. Yeah, it happens. It happens. So what we're called to do as children, the word says in Ephesians chapter 1, it says to be imitators of who? God. So what he's saying to us is, okay, kiddos, I need you to, instead of imitating what the world is saying and repeating what the world is saying and talk about what the world is doing, let's imitate what I'm saying and what I'm doing. I need you to imitate me. Greg has talked about this before. When Joseph was little, he used to, in the back seat of the car, it's so funny, he would take the seatbelt and he would put it under his belly and he would poke his belly out real far. Like, he'd poke it. It was so funny. And one day we said, Joseph, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing the daddy. Daddy. I mean, my kids make fun of me all the time. And they know when we go out to eat, they will imitate me. Because when I get my plate, what am I going to say? It's so much food. Did you hear what he said? He put a little inflection on it. It's so much food. So our kids imitate us as parents. As children of God, God needs us to start imitating him. Yes? Let's start speaking like him. Let's start doing like him. Let's be the hands and feet. Yes? Amen. Now, I'll say this. True imitation. Like, if I want to truly imitate God, that means, first of all, I got to spend time with him. They know I say that because they spend time with me. He did that doing the daddy was because he spent time with his daddy. To be a true imitator of God, I've got to require, that requires a transformation to take place. And Greg talked about it last week, being transformed versus being conformed, right? And conforming comes from the outside in. It's pressure that's being placed on us. Being transformed comes from the inside out. It's the word of God taking seed so deeply, becoming so rooted and grounded inside of us, us having our soil so prepared that when that seed is planted, it is going to grow and produce a harvest, which is what we want. And so we've got to allow ourselves to go through the process of transformation. And I was going to talk about metamorphosis because, y'all, I'm such a science nerd when it comes to things. Y'all know this. Last time I preached, I did the electrical thing. But it is a very cool process, and at some point I'm going to get into great detail about it. But the caterpillar, this is amazing. I have to share this. So the caterpillar, when it gets inside of the little chrysalis, okay, and it's not a cocoon technically, the chrysalis, it starts to digest itself. Now that is disgusting, I know. But it literally starts to break down all of the old matter and regrow all of the new matter. But in the process of the breakdown, the DNA of who they are does not change. The DNA to be a child of God is all has always been in us. We were made in his image and in his what? Likeness. I don't care who you are on planet Earth. But when we make the choice to make Jesus the Lord of our lives, it's like all of it, it's like our DNA was activated. The God DNA was like activated. And it was like, okay, it's time to get busy. I'm going to get all of this junk out and I'm going to allow you to be transformed even more so into my image and my likeness, not just externally, but internally. And I'm going to recreate and rebirth you into something completely beautiful if you let me do it. The caterpillar has a choice whether or not it's going to actually go through the process. It does. What if it didn't? It'd just be a caterpillar. And it'd be crawling through life, probably get eaten, instead of flying, right? And really fulfilling what it was designed to do. All right, last one with kiddos. Number 5 or 6, I don't know what number we're on. Kids need rest. OMG. Now kids fight it. They fight it like crazy. They will fight a nap. Now the older they get, the more naps they want. But we, right? I mean, my teenagers used to say all the time, God, I wish we could go back to kindergarten and have nap time. You know, yeah, that'd be great. But that's not the way it works. But when they're little, do they not fight a nap? They will fight it to the point that eventually they just give up. They just give up and they just lay out or they pass out. Y'all, we're the same way. I started thinking about how often I have fought God on different things, and he has been telling me, sit down and rest. Sit down. Y'all, we all in this room work. We all have jobs. Some are retired. Our jobs look different. Some work multiple jobs. You wear a lot of hats. You wear hats as a dad. You wear hats as a mom. You wear hats as a wife. You wear hats as, you know, an employer, an employee. And I understand the wearing of hats, and the hats get worn over time, and sometimes they get tiring and they get heavy. Yes? But the one hat that's never going to be too heavy for our head is the hat of a child of God. Ever. But we have to allow ourselves to just stop sometimes. I had, this last month, I mean, I'm just going to be really honest. This last month has been one of the busiest months that I've had in years. It has been at times overwhelming. It has been stressful. Y'all, I mean, I'm very transparent. It's been a lot, like to the point of tears some days. And I'm just like, Lord, this is a lot. I don't know if I can keep doing this. And there have been very few times in my life where I felt like God was speaking to me audibly, but this was one of two. And it's funny because the first time he spoke to me audibly, it was a very similar situation. And he said to me, and I wrote it down as soon as he said it to me, he said, stop, stop. Because I was getting all of my feelings. I was getting all of my emotions, and I was getting so, do y'all ever get that way, or is it just me? Okay. And I was just getting so in my head that I wasn't even looking at him. And he said, just stop. And then he said, be still. I need you to stop. I need you to be still. And I just got the image of Jesus on, you know, y'all know, peace be still. Y'all know the story of Jesus in the boat asleep. And all the disciples are in the middle of the storm. And all the disciples are freaking out. And they're just, don't you care? Don't you care? And that's kind of where I was in that moment. I was in that, don't you care, Lord? Why? What is going on? Do you not see my heart? Do you not see how I'm feeling? What is going on? And remember, the disciples went and woke Jesus up, and he was like, look, okay. He dealt with the storm first, didn't he? He stepped out and he said, peace, be still. And what happened to all the waves and all the chaos? They calmed. And then he looked at them and he's like, don't y'all have any faith? like, you knew I was taking care of you, child. You knew I was in the midst of this. So he said, stop, be still. And then he went through a list of with me of things I needed to be still in. And he said, be still in my presence. And we talk about being in the presence of God all the time. And last time I ministered, I talked about the presence of God a little bit. And the presence of God, we sometimes equate only to times of worship. That is not the only time we are in the presence of God. The presence of God lives inside of us. The Spirit of God dwells within us. So therefore, the presence of God is in us at all times. But we fail to acknowledge His presence. Acknowledge me in all my ways, right? All our ways. He wants us to acknowledge Him. In my presence, He said, in my peace. Peace, be still. In my provision. I've got it. I've got your back, angel. Chill out. It's going to be okay. In my promises. In my word. I'm being real. Sometimes we get so crazy. We don't take the time in this like we should. And I can tell the weeks or the days that I haven't really spent time with Him in His word, it shows up. The inward condition is eventually going to show up on the outer man. And that inward condition is either going to be a condition in alignment or a condition that's out of alignment. Kind of like our cars when they get in and out of alignment, right? I don't know anything about cars, but I know that sometimes our cars have to be aligned, right? When they're not aligned, you know. And so we have to get it aligned so that we can continue in a forward direction. Yes? And so in my provision, in my promises, in my word, and last he said, in my love. He's like, I got you. Charles, I wasn't planning on doing this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I didn't even go to half the scriptures I sent him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We got to be reminded. We are his kids. He's got our back. But he needs us to allow him to work. He needs us to allow him to do what only he can do. He needs us at times to just stop. And if that means physically stopping in a moment and taking a breath, it's okay to do that. I struggle with that. I struggle. And I'm having to intentionally get better at stopping and just being. Being in Christ. Being his kid. And recognizing the depth at which he loves me. He loves me. He loves you. All right, let's look at chapter 13. 1 Corinthians. Go down to verse 4. Because I want us to be reminded of what love is. Because when we're reminded of what love is, we're reminded of who God is. Amen? It says, love suffers long. That just means it's patient. And is kind. Which version do you have there, Charles? I'm going to use yours. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. And it is not puffed up. It's not arrogant. God is not an arrogant God. He is calm. He is gentle. He is kind. Verse 5, he does not behave rudely. He's not seeking his own. He always has your intentions at heart. Yes. Does he want us to be in alignment with him? Yes. Why? Because he knows that in his presence is where completeness is. Is not provoked. It doesn't think evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. But it rejoices in the truth, the truth, the truth. There's a lot of false truth out there. Amen. Verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, all of it, all of it. There's nothing left out of that, not one piece. Y'all know I own Gym 413, the little cheer gym. And our scripture is Philippians 4:13. Why is it that? I should ask Asher. Because I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things, whether it's hard, whether it's easy, whether it's uncomfortable, whether I'm exhausted, whether I'm stressed, whether I feel overwhelmed, whether I feel like I'm lacking and I don't have enough, no matter what it is, I can do it not because of me, but because I'm his kid and I am in Christ. Amen? Amen. So today, and we're closing up, today I just want y'all to just, I wanted to just put you into remembrance of who you are. Last Sunday, I got so, it touched me. I don't know if y'all saw little Jake. It's Jake, right? Stacy's little man. Oh, my goodness. Stephen was having a moment, too. Jake was up here sitting at the altar, and he was looking at Stephen, and he was singing or trying to sing the words to the song. What were y'all singing? I don't even remember what it was. I Trust in God. Man, that's a good thing for a child to sing. And he was singing those words or trying to, and he was looking at Stephen. And all I could think about as he was doing it, I'm like, that's the way God wants us to be with him. He was at peace. He even, did he go get you, Stacy? He went and got his mama, and he said, come on. I mean, it was a precious, precious moment. And that is the way our Father just needs us to be with him. Let's not forget who we are, whose we are, who's in us, and what he's called us to do. Amen? So what I want to do before we get out of here, this is a church. Jody, you can come on. Carly, will you play just a little something? This is a church where we support one another. And especially, I mean, and this is no slight against the guys, because I think the guys do too. But I think the women are really good at trying to encourage each other. And because, ladies, let's be honest, that's not the case generally. A lot of times women are trying to tear each other down, right? That's what the enemy wants, to cause division, always. But here, we really endeavor to recognize the gifts and the talents and the calling and see you. And I'm so grateful for women that God has placed in my circle, because I couldn't do anything, nothing, without my people. And here, Jessica is, she's one of our leaders. She and Chris are elders in the church. Tom and Dorothy are elders in the church. If you ever need to sense the peace and presence of God, get around Tom and Dorothy. If you want wisdom straight from the throne room, get around Tom and Dorothy. Jody and Devin are also elders in this church and mighty prayer warriors. We all know this. In case you didn't know, we have prayer 9:30 on Sunday mornings every Sunday. And Joel and Serena are associate pastors, and you can see those giftings inside each of them. And we are just surrounded by incredible people that teach us every single day. And I'm grateful. And so what I wanted to do today as we close out, I asked Miss Jody if she would mind. I really want to, this is a prayer that I know is not just for the ladies in the room, because man, the message today was not just for the women. You are God's child. You are precious to him. You are valuable to him. And he just needs you to walk in the fullness of being in Christ and being who you are. Amen. So I'm going to get Jody to come up, and she's going to pray over us and close this out today. God is good. Yes. All the time. All the time.
Well, glory. Amen. How many of you came to church this morning and changed your clothes? I'm so glad that as kids, it was an incredible message this morning. And one of those things that really just jumped out at me is rest. And I think for moms, we have many responsibilities, right? I don't know about y'all, but I always on Mother's Day think about the first Mother's Day I had with Alex, and it was a mess. But we came to church anyway. And so I want to declare a blessing over you, speak into your lives, and pray over you as well as you men. You have your day coming up, but we're just going to pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you're always good and that you always see us. I thank you that you see us in the good times and you see us in the messy times, that you see us where we are today, Father, And Father, I pray for every person, but honoring the women in here today. Some are moms, some are moms to be, some are in hopes of being moms, some aren't ready to be moms, but I pray for great grace, truth impartations over each and every person in this place. I pray over the moms, Father, for just deep wells and reserves of grace, Father, to be imparted into them, Father, for a strength to rise up on the inside of them that they've not known to carry them through the next season. Father, I pray for your peace to ascend and descend on every single person in this place like they've never experienced it before. That as they step into this week, Father, that they have a sense that they will remember the words that were spoken today, to remember that they are a child of God first, that it's not out of performance, Father, that they'll remember that they can just come to you. Father, that they just remember the words that were continually spoken over them and into their lives today, Father, to rest, to believe, to trust, and to come to you, to just be with you, Father, and that you will equip them to do everything that they need to do this day and the following days and in the weeks and months to come. Father, we pray that this word today is sealed in every person's heart, sealed in the blood of Jesus, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for just great things to come forward, Father, that you will just speak to them in ways that they've not heard you clearer before. We love you. We honor you. We thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, that you provide for us a reserve of strength that the world does not know, but that we can come to you and draw on it and pull it out as we need to walk through life. And we love you and we honor you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.